Hello, everyone. This is Kim from Kim's Coaching, and you're here with another podcast called Curing Chaos. This week, I want to talk about understanding why we do what we do, even when we know that we shouldn't. If we could figure this out, then we'd be like master of the universe, right? If we know we shouldn't do something, and we know how not to do it or how to do the right thing, why do we not do it? Luckily, I know the secret. And it actually goes deeper than just your thinking about what's happening. It's actually about what has been ingrained in us as human beings since we were born. And that's our reward system. Every single thing we do has a reward attached to it in our heads. Every positive thing that happened in our life since we were born created a chemical reaction in our bodies. And all of this is instinctual. The chemicals are released to keep us alive. One of these chemicals that is released when something positive happens is called dopamine. And when we feel the dopamine, we feel very happy, and therefore we are rewarded when that behavior occurs again. We get the same anticipation of the dopamine release, and the bigger the release of dopamine, the more we crave it. It aids in our survival. So all along the way, we've developed our own internal reward system. As a baby, when we cried, we heard our mother come down the hall and we anticipated her feeding us or cleaning us up and fixing the problem. And the chemical we experienced, the happiness we experienced, was caused by the dopamine and other chemicals that are released at the same time. Then as time went on, we learned new skills and we were rewarded over and over again for different things, and then patterns emerged. Now we're a little older, we're hungry, we eat, we're happy, right? We're hungry, we taste very delicious food like cake, we eat it, we're happy. We're not hungry, we're sad, we want to be happy, we eat cake. Dopamine release. So all of our automatic responses are down in that lower part of the brain, and the grooves that we create, the neural pathways that we create are very strong. So things become a problem when you experience huge amounts of dopamine related to something that you've done, and you try to chase that feeling over and over and over again. The bigger the thrill, the more dopamine is released, and the more we crave it, and we start chasing that reward, that dopamine reward. So I'm sure you can think of a time where you felt so happy, like, for instance, at Christmas time or on your birthday. You get a lot of presents. Maybe you got the very thing you wanted, and the amount of excitement you felt from that gift caused a huge dopamine release. And that's all well and good until you want it again. Now you're an adult and maybe you can't afford it, but you buy it anyway just to get that feeling again. Does that make sense? So you don't even realize that you're doing it. You just know that you feel better when you get the new thing that you've been wanting, whether or not you can afford it. Later, you might regret it, but at the moment, you buy it. So that's what I'm talking about when I say you know you shouldn't, but you do it anyway. And the reason you did it anyway was because you have trained yourself to seek out that reward, that dopamine, that feeling that you get from acquiring the item, the experience, whatever it is that you want. And the cool thing is that there's nothing wrong with you. It's just so deeply embedded in your neural pathways that it's very difficult to fight it. And that's where your human brain comes into to action. The upper part of your brain, the frontal lobe, is the human part of your brain. And being able to make decisions from that part of your brain, instead of letting these neurotransmitters, or I'm sorry, the neuropathways run the show, the more human you are. So my point is this. We are chasing a reward all of the time. We're chasing the reward that we automatically created in the lower part of our brain. If we want to stop doing something that we've always done, if we want to change something, then we need to stop chasing that reward and start creating new neural pathways. Start thinking about the real reward we want to have. And then using the human part of our brain, the frontal lobe, the part of our brain that can make decisions and plans and make decisions ahead of time to create a new neuro pathway. We have to do this something different over and over again until a new neuro pathway is created. And then it'll be moved back down into our lower brain, which makes it permanent. So that's why it's so hard to change. We're fighting against so many years of habit and knowing what will make us instantly happy. And think about this. Things like cocaine and sugar and drugs and highly processed foods are manufactured to create huge dopamine releases and make it very, very, very difficult not to crave it again in the future. But it's possible. That's the beauty of it all. That's the beauty of being human. We all change, and we've all seen ourselves change for the better in our lifetime. We just have to seek out a bigger reward. So when I coach people, I coach them on noticing all the rewards for everything they do for a while in the beginning. From the minute they wake up and they have that first cup of coffee, they're rewarding themselves based on their history, their past, their habit, and their belief that they will wake up faster if they have a cup of coffee. That is the reward, waking up faster. So if you want to wake up without coffee, you decided you would like to cut caffeine out of your life, you have to start a new reward system. What is the reward for not wanting the caffeine, not wanting the coffee? Does it have to have a substitute, or can you just decide that you don't need it anymore and have something else? It's all about what you're rewarded for. Some people love to exercise. They're rewarded by the way they feel after they exercise. They're rewarded by the compliments they receive about the way they look. That's a huge one. We all have some of that. Who doesn't like to be complimented on how we look? That's what we're after, that feeling we get when somebody says something nice to us. That's why it's so hard to stop caring about what other people think. But back to the rewards of exercising. You know that phrase, the runner's high people get when they're running? There's other people like me, I don't understand. I've never felt the runner's high, so I never had the dopamine rush that was associated with it, so I am not rewarded by running like other people are. But if I wanted to be, I could choose that. I could start running. I could start feeling the runner's high and possibly get the dopamine rush from that and become a runner. People who overspend, usually it's because of the feeling they get, the dopamine rush they get when they acquire that new thing. And that feeling only lasts a very short time, and then they're after it again. So in order to break the cycles that are happening, you have to interrupt the process. You have to stop rewarding the dopamine rush. Here's the cycle. Something happens, like a trigger. I'm hungry. Then you think I need to eat. Then you eat, which creates the reward. When you want to change the bad cycle, the bad habit, I'm hungry or I'm sad or I'm frustrated or whatever, I just want to be happy. So I have the urge to eat bad food. The interruption happens here. This is where you say, I'm just going to sit with it right here. I'm not going to act on this desire. That's where it gets interrupted. But it takes practice. So if you want to stop overspending, you have to feel the urge to spend and ignore it. Not ignore it, actually. You don't want to ignore it. You actually have three options. You can give into it. You can resist it using willpower, which does not work. Or you can learn to sit with it, sit with the feeling of wanting to do it, but not do it. And miraculously, things will change. You will stop desiring that dopamine rush after a while. You are building new pathways. And the reward now becomes that you're no longer addicted to spending, let's say. I've felt this feeling when I decided to quit smoking. It was about 4 years ago. I smoked for a long time, and I was introduced to this book called Alan Carr's Easy Way. And if you are smoking and you want to quit smoking, I recommend this book highly. But it was all about retraining your brain to stop rewarding the urge to smoke. And the way I thought about it was the urge was a little monster inside of me that was fed by each puff on the cigarette. Every time I had a cigarette, I created another urge for it within an hour. And the only way to stop it was to stop rewarding the urge, to interrupt it and stop rewarding it. And it took like 3 days, and I've never wanted another cigarette again. I'm not kidding you. I'm not sitting there waiting for my chance to be able to smoke again. And no, I do not crave it. I don't want it. I'm not upset by other people smoking it. I don't get disgusted by it. It's just for me, I was done. And this magic does work on everything that you try to use it on when it comes to anything, I think. Interrupting that cycle, not rewarding the urge with the action, but not by using willpower, just by letting it be and then moving on. And it takes practice. It takes a lot of practice. It's like everything else I say. You've got those old pathways built. Practice, practice, practice. And eventually it will happen. The urge to do the thing that you don't want to do anymore goes away. So think about the rewards. I love the word rewards. Everything happy comes with the word rewards, in my opinion. So instead of saying I'm denying myself anything, I'm actually not focused on that side of it anymore. I'm focused on the reward side of it. What we focus on expands. Focusing on the rewards we're going to get or to gain by not partaking in the activity that we want to change makes it easier to do. You don't feel negative about it. You feel positive about it. But you have to practice. So let's say you want to stop overeating. Of course you need to eat, but you don't want to eat bad food or you don't want to eat too much food. It's a conscious effort to change it, to make decisions ahead of time that you are going to feel the feeling and not reward it. But eventually you start desiring the new foods because you're not rewarding the old urges. Your body always wants more of what you give it. Pretty cool, huh? To know that. It gets used to what you've always done. So now it's time to get used to something new. That's the trick. That is the secret. Focus on the rewards. Don't use willpower. Just practice feeling it and not rewarding the dopamine request, not rewarding the urge. Practice looking for the other reward, the bigger reward, and see what happens. Practice using your human brain to pre-make decisions for your day, for every bad habit you're trying to change. If you don't want to overspend, if you want to stay within a budget, practice sitting with the urge to spend money that you don't have and not acting on it. You're going to start getting used to not spending, and you're going to start getting used to having money in the bank. That's a bigger reward, right? So my recommendation is to get a journal. I honestly think you should have one journal that you're always keeping. Don't switch in between journals for different subjects. One journal a day at a time. Just keep flipping through no matter what the subject is. It's really nice to know you have one place to go to. But take your journal and start from the beginning in the morning. When you wake up, what is the first reward you give yourself? A lot of times there's no need to change those. You know, brushing your teeth is a good thing and the reward of a clean mouth is good. But do you want to have coffee every morning? Do you want to spend $4 at Starbucks for a coffee every morning or $5? What is the first thing in the morning that you reward yourself with that you would like to change? And then you start working from there in the beginning, in the early in the day. Take it little by little. You can't change everything all at once, but just thinking about things differently and realizing that no matter what you end up feeling when you're resisting the urge to do something or not rewarding it, you're going to live through. It's going to be okay. It's not going to kill you. Focusing on the rewards is awesome because it gives you a positive place to think. You're not depriving yourself. When you think of yourself as being deprived, then it makes you focus on it more, which brings it back into your life. So focusing on the reward you're going to get is positive. And as always, I am here to help with all of this. You can always go onto my website and set up an appointment with me right there. You can choose the time you would like, and I will get an email saying you'd like to talk to me, and I will call you on that specific day and time. And I can listen. It's a free call the first time, so we can talk about anything that you might want to be changing in your life, anything that's creating stress in your life, and we can find out if I can help. I call it a get-to-know-me call. You'll see it right there in the beginning when you open up my website, www.kimscoaching.com. You can click right there on schedule a get-to-know-me call, and you'll be sent right to my calendar. You put yourself on. You don't even talk to me until that day. And if you have any questions, you can always go to the contacts page and send me a question there, and I will respond usually within 24 hours. I respond to that. So I'm here to help you. I love this. This is my reward. I've always known that. And I just keep finding more and more, you know, information and secrets of that unlock the change that needs to happen in the brain in order to make positive changes. I feel like I am learning so much every single day, and I really want to share what I learn with you guys. So that's why I do the podcast, and I really want to help you directly if I can. So check it out, and I'll let you go for now. I'll see you next time.